Hi. My name is Jerry Bartz, as she said. You can just call me Jerry. I'm only Jerry Ann when I'm in trouble. Christy gave me an interesting challenge in this where the email that I got was supposed to be 2 to 3 minutes on our particular topic. And that was really interesting to me because in EMS and ER, minutes are life. And we have to work against the clock to meet that golden circle of an hour where we can increase survivability of the people that are involved in these crashes. We are truly the last line of defense in these crashes. And unfortunately, like somebody said in the presentation earlier, we're not at the table. There are not a lot of EMS people here today. And I'm telling you that we have insights and expertise that we can offer you so that instead of them, once they get in the ambulance, we kind of say, well, I hope that works out. We can know what we need to do. I think a good thing for us to look at is that we need to improve 911 capabilities. We are in the 21st century, and it feels like some 911 operators are using Morse code. We need to improve ambulances. Since 1966, there have been no international standards on ambulances. There's been no improvements on passenger compartments and victim compartments in the back of the ambulance. If you've ever been in an ambulance, you are on a bed on wheels going 60 miles per hour, and you hope they don't run into anything because inertia is definitely not your friend in an ambulance. So we need to do better. We need to lift the federal regulations on crash limitations in ambulances because, as we've discussed, 94% of crashes are due to human error. Unfortunately, EMTs and paramedics are still human, contrary to their claims. So we need to do better there. We need to have increased traffic safety education and mandatory continuing education for those people because they are driving our precious cargo, the most precious cargo in America. And lastly, I'd like you to consider that because we are Oregon, we are a rural state, the next trauma center to us north is Harborview in Seattle. The next one under us is Sacramento. Going east, you better like Minnesota. And going south, I hope you like Utah. So we're talking 17.5 million people just in our area who do not have access to a level one trauma center in any meaningful fact, in any meaningful sense of the word that would get them care within that golden 60 minutes, where they would have a 25% increased chance of survival. Now, in nursing, we get cited in statistics of 1 and 2%, 25% blows our little minds. So 25% is worth it. We need to look at the trauma infrastructure and see how we can implement the standards that we've implemented in trauma care that have saved many lives. Lives that we used to say, get the coroner at the scene, are now walking out of the hospital 3 months later because of 60 years of trauma care. We need to implement those standards and protocols and see how we can apply them to first responders. Now, that was 2 minutes and 43 seconds. In that 2 minutes and 43 seconds, an EMS provider could have saved a loved one's life and hopefully got them to a trauma center. We're going to talk more about that.
Thank you. And I'm
last. Okay. This is the one about what it would look like at zero fatalities, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I imagined a scenario that's actually a case study at a hospital that I worked at. I want you to picture a two-car crash that EMS arrives on the scene. It takes 10 minutes to get there, 2 minutes to assess the situation they're in, 3 minutes to coordinate with fire how to extricate victims. Not every county has an ambulance that works with the fire department, so they have to coordinate. Let's say there are 4 in each car, all requiring extraction and/or movement around DOAs. You have to use the jaws of life to extricate. There's another 10 minutes just figuring out the logistics of keeping people alive and following spinal precautions to get them out so that we get them out in one piece. On top of that, you have 8 screaming, extremely traumatized people. They might have to call for another ambulance to help, as well as PD. Now you've got 2 ambulances out of commission in a small town. Your nearest option is you have no problem. You have a standby unit, but they have to come from another county, and they're 40 minutes away. So you call it in. To make a really long story short, you have a prolonged extrication of 8 victims in a crash taking 90 minutes. That's like a dream. Now all of those 8 victims who may be very injured have to go somewhere. Your local hospital is only 40 minutes from a level 1, but it's a level 3. So you can transport all 8 to the level 1 and 2 hospitals 40 minutes away, which is going to take 40 minutes of transport time, which cuts drastically into your golden hour. Or you can take all 8 to the level 3, which 8 patients in a level 3 trauma center is technically a mass casualty. If you picture how many trauma personnel it takes for one trauma, it's 8 to 1 patient, 8 people, a doctor, 3 nurses, 2 techs, a respiratory therapist, lab, house supervisor, and security. So we're talking 64 people in a level 3 hospital that has maybe 15 beds. In a world without deaths on the roadway, when your family member needs an ambulance, you aren't going to hear they'll get there as soon as they can get there because they're not tied up in a situation like this. And that would be my hope, that we would see that.
So
Improved health care across the board. And it would actually, I propose that it would reduce ER wait times as well and improve the cost of health care. I think what I discussed earlier, it's just going to kind of be a summary and a recap, but more access to level one was my first choice. That the amount of people each, for example, in those five trauma centers that I detailed, that would be, if it was equally divided, 3.5 million per trauma center, which I used to freak out over four patients. 3.5 million really makes me upset. So we really need to geographically disperse trauma care where everyone can be within an hour of the golden hour. They increase their chances of survival by 25%, like I had mentioned. And we also need to remember that our two trauma centers are on the border of another state. So we are serving 800,000 people in three counties who I know that are transferred to Portland because I transfer them. So that's 800,000 people in Clark, Cowlitz, and Lewis counties from Washington that are transferred here for level one care in the ICU and the ORs and our hospitals. So that's another factor that we really need to consider. I think that Andrew mentioned vehicle to infrastructure communication. If there's any vehicles on the road that should have that, it should be ambulances. And especially if someone I'm related to is in the back. That will definitely save time. And like I said, time is life. Minutes mean survival. So I think that having that so that they know the best route they can take, hands down, without having to worry about it, it's built in, would be exceptional. And lastly, I said develop, implement, and enforce safety engineering and design standards for ambulances. And we need to remove the federal motor vehicle safety standards crashworthiness exemption. In 1966, we had the first white paper on ambulance engineering safety standards, and we haven't done anything since then to the patient compartment. And it's been 50 years. So I think that that's an area we can improve on. They are trying to make an international standard for ambulance design and engineering, and I think that we need to sit at the table for that. And lastly, like I said earlier, we need to include EMS agencies in traffic incident management planning and training. Their insight is invaluable. I know for a fact that they have no problem expressing their opinions and their plans on how we should do something. So I think that it would bring a whole new aspect into traffic safety if we included them.